Morning Watch, Experiencing, Enjoying, and Expressing Christ, 3, Week 12, The True One, Monday, Related Verses, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 5 through 10. Emphasizing verses 5 through 6, 8, and 10. Verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 6. And this is the message which we had heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Verse 8. If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Related reading. The concern of the Apostle John in writing his three epistles was the enjoyment of the triune God. This is also our concern today. Instead of the enjoyment of the triune God, Christians have religion with doctrines, creeds, rituals, and practices. With religion, there is all manner of vanity. We, however, need to be careful not to merely talk about truth, reality, without having the genuine experience of the divine reality. This reality is the Father and the Son, and the Son as a spirit dispensed into God's chosen, redeemed, and regenerated people so that they may enjoy him as their life, life supply, and everything in the new creation life. Actually, this truth, this reality, is the enjoyment of the triune God. The fact that John's writings is based on the believer's growth in life should cause us to realize that if we would understand the Trinity, we must be in the process of the growth in life. If we are not in the line of life pursuing the growth in life, we will not be able to understand anything concerning the divine Trinity. When the triune God as revealed in this portion is ministered to believers who are not growing in life, they do not have any understanding or appreciation of what they hear. But when this is ministered to the seeking ones who are growing in life, They can understand what is ministered and are helped by it. They are very responsive when we speak concerning the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit who is the processed triune God. However, those Christians who are not in the line of life and who are not growing in life may wonder what we mean by such terms as all-inclusive, compound, life-giving, and processed. Praise the Lord that we have the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit who is the processed triune God living, moving, and working within us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 27 is a section concerning the divine Trinity according to the believer's growth in life. In these verses, the Trinity is covered in a very positive and meaningful way. The teaching of the divine anointing concerns the divine Trinity, but this teaching is according to our growth in life. The more we grow in life, the more we will be concerned with the Trinity. The entire New Testament is structured with the Trinity. In Ephesians, for example, every chapter is structured with the Trinity. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This verse at the very end of 2 Corinthians indicates that the whole book of 2 Corinthians is concerned with the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We also see the Trinity in the book of Revelation. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Here we see that the mysterious book of Revelation opens with the Trinity, for in this book also the Trinity is a basic structure. If the divine Trinity were removed from the scriptures, there would not be any reality of the divine revelation in the scriptures. In 1 John, only 16 verses are devoted to the mysterious, all-inclusive, compound anointing. If we study these verses carefully and get into the depths of them, we will see that the divine Trinity is here and that the Trinity is covered according to the growth and life of the believers.